Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. I would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. in Rancho Cucamonga. Our address is 9284 Baseline Road. If you can't join us in person, join us on our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on live stream and chat, pray, worship with us. If you can't do any of those, you can always go to our YouTube and watch our YouTube weekly messages, our worship services, our children's services. Our prayer is that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. I have several Bible readings today. We're going to call this little series A Great Cloud of Witnesses, and we're going to look at John Bunyan today. John Bunyan, if you have your Bible, we're going to be in Psalm 31, and then Hebrews chapter 12 and 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's just jump into God's word, but let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God Almighty, as we open your word, we pray that your word would be alive and redemptive, that your word would shape us and mold us and fashion us and help us to grow in your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me, rescue me speedily, be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord. Faithful God. I'm going to jump to verse 14 through 19 in Psalm 31. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Do not let me be put to shame, O Lord, for I call on you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go dumbfounded to Sheol. Let the lying lips be stilled that speak insolently against the righteous with pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant in your goodness that you have laid up for those who fear you and accomplished for those who take refuge in you in the sight of everyone. I love reading the Psalms. My wife and I read five Psalms a day and are able to go through the book of Psalms every month. We've been doing this reading in five Psalms since 1984. I encourage you to read through the Psalms. If you don't have time to read five Psalms a day, I suggest you start with one. It's a great vitamin for the soul. In fact, if you would like a Psalm reading plan, email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship. I'll send you my Psalms and Proverb and New Testament reading plan. I would encourage you to read God's Word. The Psalms are filled with every emotion that we can experience. John Calvin, the great reformer, said the Psalms are the anatomy of the soul. The Psalms that we just read is the Psalm 31. It's a psalm of trust, a prayer for help in times of trouble, and a magnificent psalm of confidence. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, quoted this psalm often when he was in danger. Jonah, the reluctant prophet, quotes this psalm inside the belly of the fish. Jesus, the Messiah, quotes verse 5 when he's dying on the cross. Many of the faithful men and women who follow Christ and have learned to persevere have quoted this psalm, Psalm 31, especially verse 5 at the times of their death. people like St. Bernard or John Huss burned at the stake for their faith, Jerome of Prague, Martin Luther, Philip Melanchthon, and many others have read this psalm and prayed for it when they were dying. How did these people make it through their fiery ordeals or their times of struggle? Are you struggling? Do you need hope? Read Psalm 31. Those people in those days, they remembered that God was their rock of refuge. God was their fortress. God was their deliverer. They remembered what God had done for them, and they finished their race. I'm going to encourage you to finish your race. Our New Testament reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 4. It is a promise that God is with us even when we are suffering. Let us listen for God's word for us today. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has taken place among you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you are sharing in Christ's suffering so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or even a mischief maker. Yet any of you suffers as a Christian, do not consider it a disgrace, but glorify God because you bear this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinners? Therefore, let those suffering in accordance with God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while continuing to do good. Well, today we're going to look at the life of John Bunyan. John Bunyan, who is he? John Bunyan is one of those who stand in the great cloud of witnesses and encourages us to run our race with perseverance. Our text for our sermon series here comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 3. Imagine in your mind a great cloud of witnesses cheering you on, from your loved ones who have gone before you, to people like John Calvin and John Newton or John Bunyan or Augustine or Luther. Think of those people that have gone before you. Think of Jesus Christ going before you. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Wow. Disregarding the shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. John Bunyan. Who was John Bunyan? John Bunyan was born in a little village in England called Elstow in 1628. The village of Elstow is about a mile south of Bedford, which is about 50 miles northwest of London. King Charles I was king of England at this time. During these times in England, there were tremendous conflicts between Parliament and the monarchy. There were many who wanted to reform the Church of England, calling the church back to biblical truth. These men were called Puritans. It was in this time and setting that John Bunyan lived. John Bunyan learned the trade of metal making or metal working called tinkering or brazing from his father. He received the ordinary education of the poor. He was able to read and write. He had no formal education of any kind, which makes his writing and influence on Christianity all the more astonishing. Bunyan did not grow up as a Christian believer. In fact, in his own words, he tells us, quote, "I had few equals, especially considering my years, for cursing, swearing, lying, and blaspheming the holy name of God until I came to the state of marriage. I was the very ringleader of all the youth that kept me company in all manner of vice and ungodliness. That's how he describes himself. Isn't it interesting how God uses our mates to help us come to know the Lord and help us to grow in our faith? When Bunyan was 20, or maybe 21, he married his first wife. Just a side note, in all of his writings and the writings about him, we are never told his first wife's name. We do not know. We do know, I guess, we do know that she was poor, but she had a godly father who had died and left her two books that she brought into her marriage. Here's the books: The Plain Man's Pathway to Heaven and The Practice of Piety. Bunyan said in his writings, "In these two books, I would sometimes read with her, wherein I also found some things that were somewhat pleasing to me, but all this while I met with no conviction." John and his wife had four children, Mary and Elizabeth and John and Thomas. Mary, the oldest, was born blind. During the first 5 years of his marriage, Bunyan gave his life to Christ. He came under the nonconformist, or what we would call the Puritan, teaching of Pastor John Gifford in Bedford, England, and moved from Elstow to Bedford with his family and joined the church in 1653 at the age of 25. Upon joining the church and becoming a Christian, he pored over the scriptures, reading and rereading, but finding no peace. In his own words, there came a season of overwhelming darkness following a terrible temptation when he heard the words, "Sell and part with this most blessed Christ, let him go if he will." Bunyan would write in a book called Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. This is what he wrote. He said, "I felt my heart freely consent thereto. Oh, the diligence of Satan! Oh, the desperateness of man's heart! Oh, no one knows the terrors of those days. I found it hard to pray to God because despair was swallowing me up." Wow, any of us feel that way? Maybe you feel that way right now. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with, but I can tell you that God is here for you. It was Bunyan's reading of Martin Luther's commentary on Galatians that brought peace to his heart. Wow. Well, I pray that many of us can identify with Bunyan, depressed and in despair, overwhelmed and afraid to pray. Let us think about that. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're talking about John Bunyan and the Great Cloud of Witnesses. If you need prayer, email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com or go to our website at www.TheSeedChristianFellowship.com and click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. I believe that many of us can identify with John Bunyan. We're depressed and we're in despair, overwhelmed and afraid to pray. David, the writer of Psalm 31, surely felt this way when he wrote about being surrounded with his soul in anguish. We just read Psalm 31, or portions of it. In 1655, Bunyan settled the matter of his soul, and he was asked to exhort the church in Bedford, and suddenly a great preacher was born. Bunyan became such a profound preacher that it was said of him, quote, "On that day, or on a day's notice, he could draw a crowd of 1,200 people at 7 o'clock in the morning on a weekday to hear him teach and preach." John Owen, the greatest Puritan preacher and theologian of this time and a contemporary of John Bunyan, was brought before King Charles and was asked why he, a great scholar, went to hear an uneducated tinker, a metal worker, preach. Owen responded by saying, quote, "I would willingly exchange my learning for the tinker's power of touching men's hearts." After 10 years of marriage, Bunyan's first wife died, leaving him with four children under the age of 10 and one of them blind. A year later, he marries a remarkable peasant woman by the name of Elizabeth. In 1662, the political culture is changing dramatically in England, and a law is passed, the Act of Uniformity, that on August of 1662, 2,000 Puritan pastors were forced out of their churches and ordered to sign letters that they would not preach. It was during this time that Bunyan is arrested and he's put into prison for preaching. All Bunyan had to do to get out of jail was promise that he would not preach. Instead, he is imprisoned for 12 years because he would not promise the king that he would stop, that he would not stop preaching and teaching God's word. During his first imprisonment of 12 years, his second wife suffers a miscarriage and their child dies. But the biggest blow to John was the death of his daughter Mary, who was blind. He finally found freedom after 12 years of imprisonment. Bunyan was then arrested for the second time, and during his second imprisonment, he wrote his most famous book, The Pilgrim's Progress, the story of the journey from the city of destruction to the celestial city. If you haven't read The Pilgrim's Progress, I would encourage you to read that. In 1688, at the age of 60, Bunyan felt sick with a violent fever while on a preaching trip in London, and he died alone, away from home, family, and friends. To sum up Bunyan's sufferings, we can include that almost simultaneous death of his mother and sister, the immediate remarriage of his father, his draft into the military as a teenager in the midst of his grief, the discovery that his first child was blind, the spiritual depression and darkness during the first years of his marriage, the death of his first wife, which left him with four children, the loss of his first child with his second wife, a 12-year imprisonment cutting him off from his family and church, the constant stress and, well, the uncertainty of immediate persecution, including one more imprisonment, and his final sickness and death far from those who loved him most on earth. While this summary doesn't include any of the normal pressures and pains of ministry and marriage, parenting, controversies, criticisms, and sickness along the way. So what? I've been thinking a lot about that. So what? So what does the life of John Bunyan have to do with us today? What can we take home from John Bunyan's life? Well, John Bunyan was a prolific writer. He is most famous for The Pilgrim's Progress. Do you know that next to the Bible, the world's best-selling Christian book is The Pilgrim's Progress? It has been translated into 200 different languages. There's a list of 48 books credited to John Bunyan. Did you hear me? 48 books credited to John Bunyan. With no formal education, he wrote 48 books. Not too bad for an uneducated tinker-turned-preacher who knew no Hebrew or Greek and had no theological education and went to prison at the age of 32. One of Bunyan's passages was on reading from 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read it again. He wrote a book on verse 12 and verse 13 of chapter 4 in 1 Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's suffering, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. Bunyan believed that God was sovereign over suffering. I believe that too. Bunyan believed that God was sovereign over suffering. Now, my question to you is, do you believe that? Do you believe that God is sovereign over our suffering? What is it that you're facing today? What has you depressed or downcast, despairing or defeated? What is it that has you frozen in your seat, paralyzed you into being afraid to change or move or go forward? What is it that has locked you into a prison of self-doubt and discouragement? The truth is, each and every one of us listening to this message has had or will have trials and tribulations, fears and failures, pain and persecution, self-doubt and suffering. Bunyan learned to live upon the God that is invisible. That's my prayer for us. Bunyan, in his own writing, he says, I learned to live upon the God that is invisible. That was his life's theme, to live upon the God that is invisible. Bunyan learned that God is sovereign over all things. Bunyan learned to run to Christ, his fortress. Bunyan learned to rest in the rock of his refuge, Christ alone. Bunyan has left us a legacy of perseverance. When we are tired and depressed, when we are overwhelmed and overworked, when we are afraid and in pain, we're to look to the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. We are to see people, well, people like Bunyan and Newton and Calvin and Augustine and the writers from the past, Edwards. We're to see people like, well, Abraham and Isaac and Elijah and Jeremiah, Isaiah, David, Esther, Rahab, Ruth, Mary, Joseph, Peter, James, Paul. We're to see people like Andrew, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're to see people like Martha and Mary and Lazarus. As we make our journey from the city of destruction to the celestial city, we're to focus our eyes on Jesus. We are to run the race that is set before each one of us with perseverance. Whatever our trials, whatever our tribulations, whatever our fear, whatever our suffering, we're to be like John Bunyan, to learn to live upon the God that is invisible. I don't know where everyone is at each week. Each week I pray. Each week I read. I read myself full and I pray myself up and, you know, I let myself go. And I've learned, like Hebrews, to focus my eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of my faith. I've had an infection and a rash. I've had lead poisoning. I've battled. I have to do another round of chelation to get rid of the lead. They've sent me to doctors after doctors, but I'm going to keep my eyes on God. I'm going to learn to live upon the God that is invisible. My prayer for you is that you'll come to live upon the God that is invisible. Let God be your rock. Let God be your fortress. Let God be your deliverer. Let us pray. Father, into your hands we commit our spirit. Into your hands we commit our lives. Into your hands we commit our relationships. Into your hands we commit our families, our friends, our fears, our hurts, our pains, our frustrations. Into your hands we commit our questions, our doubts, and our finances. And we cry out with the psalmist, redeem us, O Lord. May we live our lives upon the God that is invisible, so that we may be glad and shout with joy when his glory is revealed. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know, God loves you, and so do I. May you have a blessed day. And if you need prayer, I'm going to encourage you to go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. We have Bibles. I would be glad to send you a Bible. You can go to the website and click on the prayer and say, I need a Bible. We have a scripture reference guide. I'd be glad to send that to you. You can email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship, and I'll get these resources for you. My prayer is that all of us will live upon the God that is invisible and that we'll put our trust in him. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.